Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host, and we're going to be talking again about those who have moved on, and we'll be talking about talking with them. To do that, my guest is an amazing messenger who speaks with the dead every day. She even has a 2-year waiting list of people who want her to do that for them. A woman has been doing this for a good part of her life, and she has written a number of books, and her latest one is called Inside the Other Side. And so I'm speaking with Concetta Bertoldi. Concetta, welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter. How are you? Thank you for having me on.
Oh, I'm so glad you could join us because your work is extremely important because it helps people understand the nature of, not only the nature of death, but the well-being of their family who have moved on.
I love my work, that's for sure.
Yes, and I've seen a video of you talking with people and how precise you are and how much detail you can give people about those relatives who have passed. And your book is so full of experiences and understandings. I love your book. I think it's a book of love.
Thank you, sweetheart. Well, it's a labor of love.
Well, it comes across as love because it's handheld. You really know how to speak to people. You understand the language that they need to give them understanding and acceptance. And so the book is written with that compassion and that sense of connection to people that they need to hold the information that you offer.
Thank you, sweetie. I appreciate that. I have to tell you that everything I write is written by me, so I record most of my books that I've written. I tape record them, and then I have somebody transcribe them, so I'm so proud to say that all the words are said by me.
Well, it feels that way.
If you'll excuse me for the pun, I don't have a ghostwriter.
I'm sure many of them have wanted to be. There are a lot of stories that you talk about with people and help them understand. Basically, it's the story of their lives and the struggle of their lives and how those who have moved on are allowing you to be the messenger for their understandings and compassion of those who are left behind and to help them heal from their leaving.
Sure.
So I'd like you to talk about more than just what shows up in your readings for people. I'd like you to talk about how people can come to you and they've already had contact with the dead and yet they need you to reaffirm it. And
well, I think that's everyone because truly every one of us has had some experience while in the human form that tells them it's something beyond this dimension. But I think what most folks do is discount it and write it up or chalk it up to coincidence. And if you need someone to confirm that it's more than just a coincidence, I'm certainly your girl. And I know that most folks today, in today's day and age, thank God, are open to examining that and embracing their own abilities themselves. So that's one of my passions, is to tell folks that yes, indeed, it is true, and everyone has this ability.
And talk about different ways that spirits reveal themselves to us directly.
I think they come to you in so many different varieties. You know, we dream of folks that have passed on, but it's not a dream, it's a visit. We have them walking alongside our thoughts every day. We have thoughts and we think we're thinking alone, but we're not. Our subconscious and our conscious mind has their taking part in our everyday work and everyday problems and everyday successes and joys because they are a part of encouraging us and protecting us and guiding us along the way. And there is that thought process that is intertwined with ours, that consciousness.
And what about objects?
Oh, sure. I'm sure you know, Peter, because I know you're intuitive yourself. These are thousands of ways. It could be simple. You could be thinking about somebody that passed away and then all of a sudden their favorite song comes on the radio. Objects are something that they can move if they want to. They can do basically anything. It's amazing to me. But they also are very respective of the fact they respect our being on this side of the veil and that we have a lesson to learn and that there's a purpose that we're here and they are not going to overstep that boundary to change something. They're going to make sure we choose for ourselves. That's why we come here and have free will.
Also, you talk about one situation in your book where a spirit showed up with attitude.
Yeah, of course. Well, I don't know that they have such different difference in their personalities. It's funny because sometimes the soul will come through just as they were on this side, jovial, funny, loving, a flirt, or what have you. But I have noticed that there are souls that were very not nice people and had very bad personalities that do come back remorseful. Not that they come back, but they sound remorseful as they're trying to communicate.
And you also mentioned a situation where there possibly hasn't been enough healing of the soul who had moved on. They come back and have an annoying response because they're not ready to show their love.
Yes, of course. And the most important thing for me, Peter, when we discuss this, is that I know from listening to the other side that the most important thing for a soul when they pass away is to choose God. Now, keep in mind that I'm a person who is fortunately raised in a family where we have very many religions. And I believe in all religions, as long as they respect everybody else. And I truly don't like the my God is better than your God thing. So I believe in God big time, but I believe in one God for all people. So thinking on that terms, you have to keep in mind that I mean this for all people when I'm about to say. When we die, we are confronted with the light of God, and we must choose the light of God. And in that, it just goes better for us. Some folks will say to me, well, you know, they've seen shows on television where there seems to be an unrested soul or what have you. My feeling is that is a soul who has not chosen God.
Okay, so it does happen, but the opportunity to choose God is immense because the light is so beautiful.
Yeah, you would think that, right? But again, we're not there, so we don't know, but that's what I've heard.
Right. And you hear a lot.
About personalities and people still being a pickle puss. Sometimes there's just some people, we've both met them on Earth. Come on, we both know people who are just arrogant and selfish and never wrong, or my favorite and worst type of person, but my favorite to talk about is those who don't take responsibility for their own actions. We've both met those kind of people because you can't help but go through life and come in contact with someone like that eventually. And those folks, I don't know, but I have to believe that they're not spiritually connected, and they are also not on a level of spirit awareness on this side, so that when they get there, they could still be probably just as ignorant or determined not to accept what's available to them.
Right, and we have to honor that, and let's hope for the best for all of them.
but you can only do the best you can.
Sure.
You know, it's all you can do. You just, sadly, if you're related to people like that, that's when it really gets sad.
Sure.
Because what do you do then? It does happen. And I have met many folks during my many years of listening to folks and readings, and, you know, they don't know how to handle that. And then in the worst part is it comes riddled with guilt, then fear, and, you know, those kind of things are hard to handle. So when you have a spiritual belief, it makes it a little easier to go through life.
Right. Well, one thing that helps us is even the passing of our family, and often they are lying on their deathbeds, and all of a sudden their eyes light up.
Yeah.
And they're excited because
they see.
Yeah.
See what's in front of them.
Right.
And, you know, because I work with that and I work every day with it, I've heard the most beautiful stories, the most amazing testimonies. That's what made me write these books that I've written. You know, my first book, Do Dead People Watch You Shower, is in 12 languages, and it's now, and it was on the New York Times bestselling list. And then, of course, I wrote the sequel, which is Do Dead People Walk Their Dogs? But they are question and answer books, which I'm proud of because it was the first of its kind ever done. But this new book, Inside the Other Side, I really, really spent a lot of time, 2 years, in fact, writing that and telling people things that I know that everyone's looking for these answers, and they want to know if it's their imagination. They just want somebody to tell them it's not, and you're right, and you're on the right track.
Right. It's so interesting how often this happens where a dying person will say, oh, Judy's standing there waiting for me to come with her.
Right.
And then they die on the spot.
Right. Well, because then they've lost their fear at that moment. I just got off the phone shortly before we were on the radio with a daughter-in-law of mine, and she was telling me about a grandmother of hers, very sick, and he told her that she's afraid of dying. And my daughter-in-law said, I don't know how she could be afraid. She's been so God-fearing all her life. She has to know what she's facing is going to be wonderful for her. And I said, that doesn't matter who we are on this earth. The unknown frightens all of us. And that's why people fear death. But remember that death does not sting. It's a doorway. And when people are dying, a lot of people have witnessed this. I remember, I actually wrote about this one I'm about to tell you. There was this woman who had a little boy who was very sick from the time he was born. And she, her heart broke because her son was not healthy enough to run with the other children or play. And from the time he was born, he loved children too. So he, when he was 5 years old and he was still in a wheelchair, she would say to him, "Where do you want to go today, honey?" And he would always want to do the same thing, no matter what it was. He wanted to go to the playground. And even though he couldn't get up and run and play with the children, he wanted to just watch them. So he would sit on the sidelines. And he would be saying, "Yay," and "Mommy, look," and be all excited for the children who were going down on the swings and whatever there was there for them. And the mother said it used to break her heart because he would be so happy and none of the kids would ever talk to him or play with him. And yet he was so happy to just be in their company. And it just breaks my heart even recalling this story. But she told me the day he died, he was in a coma for a couple of days. And all of a sudden, he opened his eyes. He looked at his mother, and he said, "Mommy, they told me that now I'm going to be able to play just like all the other children. I'm going to be able to do whatever I want." And then he died. And when I heard that, oh, my God, it was just so moving. It still moves me every time I recall it or tell it to somebody because it's just amazing to me.
Right. So, I've done some shows recently with a mother and son team of astral travelers. And they've been out there visiting all of these opportunities of playgrounds for kids and playgrounds for adults that we create out there and have the opportunity to fulfill ourselves in ways that we couldn't hear. And yet it's not the end all out there. It's only an intermediate area that we get to go to heal ourselves and feel really good about our eternal selves. And so it's wonderful that these stories, you hear stories every day. That's the amazing thing, is that you get to inspire people and heal people. So many people, their lives are completely changed after they've talked to you because it's the opportunity to know that their family member or members are okay now.
I tell you, Peter, I feel so privileged to be able to do that. And I never get ahead of myself and I never get too big for myself. I'm very grounded because I always remember how lucky I am to be able to deliver messages. And I always remind people I'm just as human as everybody else is, so I never think of myself as better than anyone in terms of that. But I will tell you that I am very pleased that these people tell me these beautiful things that come from my work. And I really think it's nice that they want to give me the credit, but I always credit the souls who are telling me the messages. And I always credit the other side. Really.
Right. And these people come in to see you. They have tears of pain and they leave with tears of joy.
I like to think that. I sure do. And I can tell you, they're not alone because you have to know from reading my books that I've lost my mother, my father, and my brother. So I too get great joy from hearing from my folks. And they have taught me the importance of how important this is to deliver these messages.
Right.
Knowing what I know about where they are. And what's going on sure does make me feel better about the whole thing.
Sure. It's wonderful. I did have a lucid dream years ago where my mother came and visited. And we didn't talk, but we just sat with each other. And she looked beautiful. And I was very happy for her.
Yeah, that is sweet. I know. I saw my mother, too, during the week of the Sandy storm. And she died in 2008. And when I saw her this past year through the storm, and I had said to her, I had a conversation with her. It was so great. But one of the things I said to her was, "Mom, promise me that when it's my turn to leave this life, you'll help me to leave this life easily." And she smiled this beautiful smile, and she said, "Honey, always remember that there is not where true life is. Here is where true life is." And it was amazing because I had heard that dead folks all of my life. And yet when she said that, it was like I heard it for the first time.
That's why a lot of people say passing on is going home.
Well, it is.
Yes.
Isn't really where we live. We've only come here temporarily.
Right.
We truly are, you know, spirits having a human experience. It's not the other way around.
Right.
And we are definitely going back to where we really came from and where really total perfection is. This place is filled with imperfection, but for a very good reason.
It's where we learn the most compassion.
We learn every lesson.
Yes, really. But I think the bottom line is love and compassion, and I'm grateful for that. because so much of it is struggle.
I also know there's a lot of people out there who don't get it, who don't get love and compassion either. I mean, I feel really bad saying it, but that's why we're here, because you've heard it before, where some people just think they've done the best, they are the best, there wasn't any more they could have done, there wasn't any more they could have forgiven, or so forth and so on, and it's not true. I mean, we really have a lot to learn. That's something we still have a lot to learn.
Right. And I think a lot of the compassion comes afterwards when we're out there back home and look back.
Then we're confronted with the domino effect of our actions and our words. They tell me that when we enter the light, we get that fast forward view of everything we did in our life here on Earth. And we get to feel everything we made anybody else feel. So, yeah, you can bet that it's going to come from that, because it's going to be an eye-opening experience, I'm sure.
Sure, that life review is really something.
Well, I think that's one thing I like to tell people about it, because it might make everyone try a little harder while you're here. I know it certainly does for me. Does it mean I'm perfect? Absolutely not. Do I still make mistakes? Absolutely do. But I also know the difference, and I know there's a price to be paid. I write about it, you know, in my books, and I tell them, think of it as a bank, and you're making karmic deposits.
Right. And a lot of moving on is a regret for not being part of the party here anymore. I think of losing my father when I was a teenager. That was 53 years ago. And yeah, it's amazing. He did connect to me briefly right after he died. Within a few days, there was a moment on something on TV that had to do with, I heard on TV, your father just died, and then all of a sudden the TV went into static.
Wow.
And I knew that at that moment my father had given me a message.
That's the kind of stuff I try to tell people. Those are not coincidences. You know, that might happen, Peter, that might happen to somebody else in the same situation, and they would just all think the television was on the whack, you know? They wouldn't realize that that was indeed somebody trying to tell you, someone was your father trying to tell you. You know what I mean?
Right. And it plugged me into this path that I've been on ever since of where did he go and will I ever see him again? And I've become an intuitive, and yet I haven't had direct contact with my parents other than that one visit with my mother and that experience with my father. But I do expect to see them again. Actually, I had an experience years ago where his older brother was dying. And I said to his older brother on his deathbed, I said, would you please say hello to my father once you get out there? And he said, I'm so glad you asked me that, because I look at the bedside table here. I have a manuscript that I wrote on life after death, and I didn't know who to give it to. Now I know you're the person.
You understand.
That was very strange. And so I'm very excited about the opportunity and the future. And yet I have my own children who I want to hang around for. I haven't met my grandchildren yet, and I certainly want to be part of their lives. And yet we are, after we go on, we certainly can visit all the time as much as we like and see them. And yet they, because they're not able to communicate with us, their loss is much greater.
That's very true. I look at my brother's daughter, who was only a month old when my father passed away. And I think about that because I know if he was on this side of the veil, for she's now 12, he would have just been so crazy about her and in love with her and adoring her like my mother did. And but I know he is doing that from where he is. But I feel for her that she didn't know the beautiful personality that he had. You know what I mean? But there's reasons for things we don't understand, darling, and we just have to put it in God's hands. I mean, there are many folks who lose their parents so young, and I look at them and I say, wow, what could that have been reason for? But I'm sure there is one.
That's something that's very important.
It's enjoying what you do have and not what you don't have or what you lost. You know what I mean?
Right. And yet in your book, you talk about the purpose of our lives, and that we are here to live a short life or a long life. We all have different purposes. And so we have to respect that in those who move on, even if they're only 5 or 10 years old, they came here for that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And It's very difficult. You know, I don't have children of my own, but I lost children that I didn't take full term. But I can tell you that I feel there's a purpose and a reason for everything, because even those losses taught me something, and I had choices to make with them. I mean, I could have become very bitter, which I was for a while, very bitter and angry because of what happened and not being successful at it. And then I had to take the right road and make the, you know, take the right path, which was enjoy what I do have and make something out of what I do have, which I have two stepchildren, lovely and lovely grandchildren through them. And it's all choices, what we do with the things that happen to us in life.
Sure. And how about the choices that people have who would like to be like you and haven't become able to talk with the dead? Or for instance, for me, being an intuitive, and I work in purposes that are a little bit different than yours, even though there are many times that I can speak to and about the dead, that's not my main purpose. And yet I'm intuitive, I'm gifted in a way that helps a lot of people all the time. So many people want to be like us, want to have this.
And take a hard, let me just say, it's not hard to be like us. And anyone can be like that. And I say us, I mean, it's not hard to be like we are. And I feel strongly that, oh God, there's so many people that say to me all the time, I wish I could hear them, I wish I had your ability. And I say to them, I'm no different than you. You do have the ability. Train yourself, look for it, open your eyes, you know, and embrace the ability that is in there, and then you'll slowly start to see. And that's where I think we're going, by the way.
Well,
I think that our human race is leading towards that. And you can tell it's already made leaps, and because let's face it, how much has it changed in the last 2,000 years? All right.
Right,
let's just say, how much has it changed since Salem, 1796? I mean, we couldn't have even talked like this.
Right, there's so much that has evolved.
People are embracing their own ability within themselves, and they're looking for answers. That in itself tells you that we're growing, we're moving.
Right, and yet it's all about dedication, because I've had maybe a couple thousand people come through my intuitive healing school over the years. And many of them have learned to be intuitives. Many have become professional intuitives. And yet so many haven't. And when I look at them, I go, well, why haven't these people made that jump into being as intuitive as the other students have? It's that they're not dedicated. They're not clear about it. And they
kind of... I see that too, Peter.
Yeah.
And what I find in a lot of people is some people are looking for too much. You know, this isn't going to be a Whoopi Goldberg movie Ghost. You know, it's just not. You have to look for the simplest things and start there. And
right.
You have to be happy with that. And then there's some other people that, we both know them, that they, no matter what you do, it isn't enough. And that they're never satisfied. And it's not good enough. And then they give up.
Well, as you know, it's all in the heart. And when you can hold your heart, you can do anything. And a lot of these people don't have it in their heart for that. They might have it in their heart for something else that they're in life for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so we have to honor that.
Absolutely.
And, right. And so much of your book is about life, is really about helping people get through understanding their spiritual natures and the spirit of the universe and the God energy that's there.
And right, that's big with me.
I know, I see it throughout your book, and I have my own understanding of it as a God of a multi-universe that's so big and vast, and the light is so pure, and on this plane we don't feel it as much as spirits out there do.
Right.
And so they're more fortunate. Here we're more questioning because we don't get the opportunity to sense God presence, except perhaps more through the actions of loving and caring people, the way people express the God presence in themselves.
Well, so, I think that it's individual, for sure.
We're all learning our own ways. We have our own paths. And that's also why there's so many different religions out there that...
Absolutely, yes.
And people
love each other despite them.
Well...
You're here to learn something from them.
Yeah. Well, there are so many people still caught in dogma and fear. It's so much about fear. And so...
Well,
yeah.
I think that problem comes in so many different levels, but one of them is that when they don't feel included. See, what happens, in my opinion, when we're born, we all want to be accepted by who we're born to. So that's why whatever nationality or whatever race or whatever religion you're born to, you automatically take on. And you become very proud of, and you want to embrace it and carry on traditions and so forth and so on, which is wonderful. But the problem is, if it's somebody who's looking at somebody else in a different home, and they have all that is different from what they are, they're just looking at it like they're putting a big wall between them because they're not the same as I am. They're not realizing they're of the same human race, the same spiritual race. They just look at it like they don't belong to our clan. And it's very difficult for people to go over and knock on the door and just say, hey, gee, I'd like to be included. Can I come to this holiday or sit down for that dinner? And then that family say, yeah, come on in. We'd love to show you how we do this. That's when the walls get torn down.
Right.
That's when the fears are overcome. When they start to realize, hey, you're not much different than we are. We just do it this way.
Well, sometimes big tragedies bring people's hearts together because we all realize how upset we are by, for instance, 9/11. There were so many people who could talk to each other at that time who couldn't before. And I think that someday when the ETs arrive, we'll all understand how much we all have in common here, different from them.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm very excited about the potential. I've done radio shows with contactees and people who help young children who are born believing that they are of other planets, from other
right.
planets. And there are thousands of them now being born that way.
Well, I also think there are all children born here know where they came from, and they remember where they came from. But when we come here, we are really, truly focused, and we gain even more focus through the families we're born to stop thinking about where we came from. It's just something
right.
we have to learn all the stuff all over again.
And there's enough to handle.
Language to speak, how to use our hands, and all that stuff.
Sure. And so we're getting near the end of the show, and I'm so excited about who you are.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And what you do, because it's a blessing, and you come from that blessing. I think that's one of the reasons why you attract so many people to you, is that you really are an expression of these higher frequencies about love and God that you are so interested in. You know, it is a part of you. And so I'm very glad that you wrote this book, Inside the Other Side, and you have the other two books, and people can read all about it and learn.
Thank you so much, Peter. I appreciate that so much.
Well, I appreciate your participation in the show and your kind words, and it's really nice talking with you. And
you as well, Peter, and I wish you such good luck. You have tremendous energy.
Oh, thank you. Nice to hear that. So Concetta Bertoldi, the author of Inside the Other Side, thank you so much for being a guest on Energy Stew.
Thank you, darling, and I wish you well.
Thank you.
Have a great evening.
You too.
Bye, honey.
Bye-bye. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.